The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Sky Broadband. Get the power to do more with Sky's best ever Wi-Fi.
Just a little after 9.30, we were talking to Enda Kenny on Friday night and wanted to mention today that he is also the patron of Mayo Pink Ribbon Challenge. This big challenge, they've raised over €1 million in the last 10 years for the National Breast Cancer Research Institute, and they're having a virtual event this year, encouraging everyone, including myself, would you believe, to run, cycle or walk 300 km within your area as much as you can. So if you register for €20, the details are there on mayopinkribbon.ie. And I see Deirdre enjoyed Éireannróid Enda, the most brilliantly entitled programme of the year so far. I enjoyed seeing Ireland portrayed in such a positive light. The use of Irish and subtitles mixed with English chats made it much easier for a person like me who's forgotten most of my Irish to immerse myself in my native language. Well done to all involved in the programme. I felt I was on my bike meeting the people and enjoying the music in the programme as well, which is good news. Thank you, Deirdre, for that. 51551 is the text number. And we have reached another decade in our favourite programme that hits us in the feels, as young people will say, every time we watch it. It's Series 6, Reeling the Years, 2010 to 19, airing this Sunday, April 11th, RT1, 8:30 p.m. From Katie Taylor to Coda Line, from Mrs Brown's Boys to the marriage referendum, fake news is in there, fidget spinners. Wow. Reeling in the Years showcases, of course, the stories and the soundtrack of Ireland over the last 10 years. Wonderful piece of work brought together by a great team led by Mr John O'Regan. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Ryan.
Nice to see you.
Thank you. Nice to see you.
Before we talk about this decade, let me just say that as soon as Donald Trump got elected and then COVID came in again, people always use now Reeling in the Years as an expression to say they'll need one for every week, let alone every year. The pressure to put this decade together must have been intense.
There's a little bit, yes. We'll find out on Sunday when it starts going out, and we'll see what people make to it. But I mean, what we try to do with the program is make pretty much the same type of program that we've made all the way along.
And
you're kind of aiming for that blend of Irish and foreign, and upbeat, downbeat music, slow and fast, and a blend of news and current affairs and music and sport.
Yeah.
So that's what we've tried to do, and we'll find out if people like it or not.
Of course they will. But because we could see the ad running over the weekend, and we saw in that short, it must have been, 30 seconds to a minute or whatever, we saw the Anglo-Irish Bank sign, we saw the Queen's visit, the Queen's visit, Obama's visit, Theresa Mannion's iconic report that time. So let's go consecutively and begin with 2010. And tell us a little bit about what
can
expect.
Start the series in 2010 on Sunday coming. It's the year of the ash cloud, if you remember. There's a volcano in Iceland, and it brought travel chaos across Northern Europe. Lots of new things coming into Ireland and abroad. It's the time Google Street View came to Ireland. It's the beginning. It's the launch of the iPad. The Aviva Stadium was opened on Lansdowne Road, and you had the Chilean miners rescue, if you remember that. The 33 miners trapped underground. They were rescued after, 69 days. The huge earthquake in Haiti, and there was a big freeze. It's also the year, I suppose, that the main story of that year is the bailout. It's a rapidly deepening economic crisis. There's a worldwide global crash. 2 years earlier, countries like Greece in a lot of trouble, specifically in Ireland's case. It's a banking and property crash. You've got spiralling debt, you've got fears of international contagion across the Eurozone, and by late 2010, Ireland is effectively starting to run out of time and money. We've got two voices for you to listen to.
I'm getting an ulcer.
Well, it's a short clip. When people talk about nostalgia, I'm not sure how happy people would be on Sunday night to look back at this kind of thing. But Ollie Wren is the first voice you hear. He's the EU Commissioner for Monetary Affairs, and he's followed by Taoiseach Brian Cowan.
It is essential now to stop the financial bushfire concerning Ireland before it becomes a European-wide forest fire.
I can confirm that the government has today decided that Ireland apply for financial assistance to the European Union.
And so it began.
So it began, 67.5 billion euro was the bailout. The impact of that crash, of course, is right through the series of reeling, it's right through the decade.
Yeah.
You've got everything from ghost estates, you've got unemployment at around 15%.
Yeah.
You got emigration returning as a feature of Irish life.
It's funny, just reflecting as you're speaking on that, and it was such, as a news hound, as people are interested in current affairs, that story was moving at such a pace, it was hard to keep up. And then, of course, COVID is another level altogether. But we'll keep going then with that. What is 2011?
Well, if we step into 2011, it's full of memorable events. It's a bit like 2016 that you mentioned. It has everything abroad. You've got the Arab Spring, if you remember. It started a street protest in Tunisia, spreads right across so many countries. It becomes open revolution, topples regimes, Libya, Egypt, so many countries across the Arab world. It's 2011 is also the year of the tsunami in Japan, the Fukushima nuclear disaster. In Ireland, you had a general election, huge losses for Fianna Fáil, the Green Party. Fine Gael and Labour coming to power. It's the year of a presidential election and Michael D. Higgins winning the first of his two terms. But in the many, many events of 2011, and certainly as a year as we were editing it, I know that there are many events that we have left out of 2011. Well, there's one week in May, it's particularly memorable, where Ireland's playing host to two visits by international heads of state. You've got Britain's Queen Elizabeth and American President Barack Obama. For the Queen, it's the first visit by a British monarch to the Republic. You've got a few voices to listen to here. The first voice is President McAleese at Dublin Castle at the state banquet for Queen Elizabeth on Wednesday, the 18th of May, 2011.
Okay.
This visit is a culmination of the success of the peace process. It is an acknowledgement that while we, none of us, can change the past, we have chosen to change the future.
Argus Akhoiza. With the benefit of historical hindsight, we can all see things which we would wish had been done differently, or not at all.
Remember that whatever hardships the winter may bring, springtime's always just around the corner. And if they keep on arguing with you, just respond with a simple creed. It's fader ling. Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
I mean, that is a tale of three different speeches. I remember them. I remember well because I was very fortunate to meet both the players that time, the Queen.
On a Wednesday morning at around 9 o'clock.
God, it was cold and sunny, and I was walking through the city going, God, my granddad saw me now heading to shake the hand of the Queen of England.
Well, the interesting one there is when you hear the Queen saying, Uachtaránach sa Comhairle, which, you know, struck an awful lot of people. It struck me at the time, watching it as it was going out. But then I learned that it's pretty much standard procedure for a British state visit that the Queen always starts a speech in the native language. So she goes to France, the first words are in French.
Okay. But she'd never been here.
So we thought we were special. Yeah. Okay. We're not. However, what you have to say, the reason why it struck so many of us, it's got particular significance
and
resonance in Ireland because what Britain obviously did to suppress the language across the centuries. So the impact of those words is far greater than it would be in other places. And you also have to think of, you know, symbolic moments like the Queen placing a wreath at the Garden of Remembrance to pay respect to the people who died fighting for Irish freedom.
Yeah.
So there's so many moments across those visits. The Queen was here for 4 days. President Obama was here for about 12 hours.
He was. I was backstage at the Obama speech in College Green, and we all got to meet him, said hello, whatever. Yeah. But as I was passing by, I had to do something on the stage briefly. I saw the auto cue, which is the teleprompter, as they say in America, and for President Obama's speech. And they had phoneticized the Taoiseach as Taoiseach, Taoh. And I said to the guy, because he was a very Secret Service, uptight looking fella, I said, look, it's not my business. I said, but if you change shook to shock, you could do yourself a favor. I don't know whether he did or not.
We'll never know. You'll have to ask.
All right. More importantly, obviously, great excitement. The Dubs were on the rampage then.
Yeah, I think one of the big sporting decades is the rise and the dominance in Gaelic football of Dublin. You know, you've got other counties in Gaelic football. You've got Mayo knocking on the door all the time. Donegal winning once. You've always got Kerry. But in fact, if you go back to 2010, it's actually if Cork beat Down.
Right.
But where it starts for the Dubs is in 2011. In the All-Ireland final, they're playing Kerry. Dublin have been losing. They fought back to draw level. You go into stoppage time. Dublin get a free kick. Yeah. It's maybe 35 metres about out, 35, 40 yards out. The Dublin goalkeeper, Stephen Cluxton, steps up.
What drama in Croke Park. The distance with the angle, about 45 metres. Here he comes to win the All-Ireland. Cluxton, he's put it over the bar! And Dublin are in front by 112 to 111. Cluxton the hero.
And so it began.
Yeah, Dublin winning 7 out of the 10 All-Irelands across the course of six in a row now. But And hurling, of course, you had several different teams winning. You had Kilkenny, Tip, also Clare, Limerick and Galway.
All respectfully, yeah, given their nod this morning. But it was in the boxing ring in London town. I mean, that was extraordinary.
Yeah, there are many outstanding sporting moments across the decade. This is a terrific moment. These are what you have here are the sounds from the 9th of August 2012. You're in the XL Arena at the London Olympics. You've got Wicklow boxer Katie Taylor fighting in the lightweight final. She's fighting Sofia Uchigawa, and the commentary is by the late Jimmy McGee.
Every town and village in Ireland seems to be represented here. And Taylor goes after Uchigawa again.
The winner by a score of 10 points to 8 and the Olympic champion.
Beautiful. And let me ask you about the music choices, because ever since I started watching Reeling in the Ears, like everyone else, the majesty of the connection with the music and the footage we're looking at it can't be understated. Where are we going in this decade between the teens?
Well, the teens, I suppose you call them the difficult years, Ron. The target's always with Reeling in the Ears. You'd want to blend that Irish and foreign. You want to blend fast and slow. You always want to foreground the Irish soundtracks, and you always want to bring in as many pop and chart hits as you can. Mm. I've picked a couple of tracks here to give you an inkling of the process. Like, obviously, with COVID, it's quite similar, I suppose, to a lot of people who were lucky to have work at this time. But the way we'd work the show is we can't do it the way we used to. So we have two very talented researchers, Owen Cody and Ronan Murphy, and we'd go through lists of footage and we'd work out what we can afford and the license of a copyright. And, you know, they would compile footage onto computer drives and I'd take it home. And I'd end up, I mean, I can give you an example, the one that sticks in my mind, you know, they're kind of midnight or 1 o'clock kitchen table and you've got the computer drives. We're talking about 2012 there and you're blasting through it and you're looking at all the footage, and I write everything out in A4 hardback copies. I've got about 15, maybe more of them now. Everything I write out longhand because it helps me to work it all out.
Wow.
So in 2012, if you think of 2012, you've got the opening of the Titanic Centre, Belfast, looking at that footage. Would be good to have a Northern Ireland story because we're always doing the troubles. There's a Costa Concordia sinking, if you remember that big tanker. And then you're looking at the Loyalist flags because Tommy Gorman's got a really good piece there from Belfast City Council. Do you remember the Loyalist flags protest?
Yeah,
and Richard Haas, oh no, that was 2013. And there's a Sinn Féin councillor saying some Loyalists are behaving like it's 2012, but that's a century ago. Would that connect to the Titanic? Don't know. And so I'm looking at Taylor Swift and this is Somebody I Used to Know. Do you remember Somebody I Used to Know? And then you're thinking, well, Taylor Swift, hang on, We Are Never Getting Back Together. And you've got, oh, look, there's Lance Armstrong admitting to doping. And Ronan's told me Pat McQuaid's Irish guy's in charge. Would that work? And then you look at the Loyalist flag protest. You've got Martin McGuinness shaking hands. You've got, Sean Quinn in the court case.
Oh,
got
my Bertie God, Hearn. My head is melted.
So what's going to work? And you can see it in a few weeks. Nathan Nugent, the editor's cut it together. You see, and viewers can decide if it works or not. All those things. Mahon Tribunal, Bertie Hearn. You go talk to your friends, talk to my friends, talk to me. But we are never, ever, ever getting back together like ever.
Ever.
I can see how attractive that would be as a clip for you. Let's talk about Nathan.
Nathan Carter. Yeah, so just as Reeling features a lot of rock and pop, country music's all very popular. You were mentioning 1981 earlier on the programme, Big Tom and Air 4 Country Roads. I would personally see a connection in terms of that song to something like N17 by Solo Doctors. There's a thread in Irish in Irish music about emigration and the way that's reflected in popular music. But, you know, there's also right across the previous Reelings in the Years, you'll see Brendan Shine or Gloria, Daniel O'Donnell. This is probably the biggest country hit of the decade. From Liverpool via Newry, it's Nathan Carter's cover of Wagon Wheel.
So rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel. Rock me, mama, any way you feel.
Yeah, Wagon Wheel, yeah. I mean, I didn't know. I knew about Nathan Carter. That's 2012, by the way. I didn't know before Reeling that it was co-written by Bob Dylan.
Yes.
Actually, yeah. So, I mean, rock me, baby, like a wagon wheel. Rock me, mama, any way you feel. Yeah, 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 mama, rock me. Bob Dylan, ladies and gentlemen, Nobel Prize winner for literature. Although, in fairness, I don't think he won it for that. And in fairness to him also, it's an old traditional song that he did.
Yeah, but
I didn't know that
Bob Dylan
and Nathan Carter are there.
They are together in a manner of speaking. In terms of pop music, a new star was born.
Yeah, again, the deliberate choice to showcase Irish music, I don't think it's, I talk about it a lot, but it's not revolutionary. If you're working for a station like RTÉ and you're making a programme like Reeling in the Years, if you're going to sing, you sing an Irish song. So you were talking about 1981, as you were a moment ago. You've got the Police and you've got Talking Heads in there and you've got Queen, but you've also got the Boomtown Rats and you've got Big Tom, you've got Foster and Allen. And this series mixes in Imelda May, The Script, Lisa Hannigan, Codaline Villagers, Gavin James. We're still editing, so I'm not sure, but I'm quite sure. I'm not sure yet, but I would have thought Dermot Kennedy would be in and Soleil. Yeah. The biggest hit, by my reckoning, from an Irish artist, an international hit by an Irish artist in this decade, comes in 2013 when Andrew Hosier Byrne is 23 years old, and the song is Take Me to Church.
Take me to church, I worship like a dog at the shrine of your life. I'll tell you my sins and you can sharpen your knife. Offer me that deathless death, the good God, let me give you my life. Take me to church, I worship like a dog at the shrine of your life. I'll tell you my sins and you can sharpen your knife. Offer me that deathless death, the good God, let me give you my life.
Brilliant, what a tune. I should forget sometimes how epic that song is until you hear it like that. Okay, let's head to 2014. We're staying in the music world.
In a way, yeah. I mean, we were talking about Dublin GAA a moment ago. They scored that, they got that elusive five in a row in 2019, which becomes six in a row in 2020. But this is another elusive five in a row in Croke Park that never happened. 17 years after a series of legendary performances at Croker, a country superstar announces plans for a comeback special at the same venue. This is where it starts. That star is Garth Brooks.
If you're going to do a comeback special from that and you can pick any place in the world to play, whatever place that is, I think the artist would be given that place the ultimate compliment by picking that. But this is the place to play.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so that's where it started. There's two concerts were announced. They sell out in less than an hour. They add a third and then a fourth and a fifth. However, all those five gigs are sold subject to license to be granted by Dublin City Council. Croke Park's already hosting several pop gigs in 2014. Some residents in the area object. Lengthy negotiations just become a blame game around Ireland's event planning laws. You've got mediation efforts involving the City Council, the promoters, the GAA, Garth Brooks. The Mexican ambassador offers to help get involved. The Obama administration has to make it clear it's not going to get involved. And this is where it ends, on the floor of the Dáil, with the leader of the opposition and the Taoiseach debating the issue.
Wow.
It's not beyond the capacity of the Oireachtas to pass emergency legislation if necessary.
First of all, you'd be accused of doing down the rights of residents who have rights, of course. Secondly, you'd be accused of interfering on top of a planning process.
God, I can tell you this honestly. Anyone in Ireland, anyone on the planet is sad about this. You're not one billionth as sad as I am. Because I'm the real loser in this one.
Yeah, 1 billion.
Yeah, 400,000 tickets sold for gigs that never happened.
1 billionth. All right, let's march towards that momentous day in Dublin Castle.
Yeah, marriage referendum. There are several referendums across the decade. There are two standout referendums. The most recent is in 2018, the abortion referendum to repeal the Eighth Amendment, written into the Constitution since 1983. The earlier one is from 2015, when Ireland became the first country in the world to legalise same-sex marriage by a popular vote. You'll hear two voices here. In a moment, you hear the voice of David Norris addressing the crowd at Dublin Castle. The first voice is Rhiannon Ianala, who's the referendum returning officer, announcing the result.
Votes in favour of the proposal.
1,201,600. From this small independent republic to the entire world is one of dignity and freedom and tolerance, liberté, fraternité, égalité.
That's David Norris. It's 4 decades after he had helped found Ireland's first gay rights groups. And there's a line in contemporary Irish history that goes from that 2015 referendum back to civil partnership about 10, 15 years ago, further back into the 90s, the decriminalisation of homosexuality in 93, back to court cases taken by Norris and others in the 80s with the help of people like Mary Robinson and Mary McAleese before that, who were at the time law professors in Trinity College, the days of the early gay pride marches, the Hirschfeld Centre in Dublin or the Key Co-op in Cork. And times when gay people were attacked, in some cases murdered simply because they were gay, it leads to that referendum in 2015. Mm. And that was a yes vote by 62% to 38%.
Amazing. It's funny, as every time we get to another point, I in my own selfishness, I remember exactly where I was in a good way. You're just kind of, oh, do you remember that time and what it does? And equally with this one, the Brexit referendum and the expectation being that it'll never happen. It'll be tight, but it'll never happen. My goodness.
Well, Brexit, it's a year, in 2016, it's a year when British Prime Minister David Cameron is deciding to face down the critics in his own and other parties once and for all. Remember, Cameron had won a referendum about Scottish independence in 2014. Mm. He'd also won a general election in 2015. He defied the opinion polls and they won a Tory majority. There are four voices to listen to here. At the end of it, you hear Theresa May, who replaced Cameron. Before that, you hear Nigel Farage, who you know. You hear the voice of Jenny Watson, a returning officer, and this clip starts with David Cameron announcing the in-out referendum.
I will go to Parliament and propose that the British people decide our future in Europe through an in-out referendum.
This means that the UK has voted to leave the European Union.
Yeah! Let June the 23rd go down in our history as our Independence Day!
Brexit means Brexit, and we're going to make a success of it.
Well, that's for Brexit, history to decide.
Brexit, I suppose we'll continue to live out whatever Brexit means. I suppose right now it means vaccines, maybe you could say. But
indeed.
I was thinking of Tommy Gorman, who I mentioned earlier, who retired the other week, and he was talking about the current state of Anglo-Irish relations. When you look back now to 2011 and the visit of Queen Elizabeth, and 2014, the visit of Michael D. Higgins as president to the UK, you now look back and you can see that that was a high point and we're not at a high point now.
No, that's for sure. Okay. The fragility of that situation borne out over the weekend indeed. That's what's so interesting about this programme, because it's history on the hoof in some ways, because it's so recently minted history. It still feels like journalism, still feels like current affairs. It's that intriguing nowhere land between history and politics, in a manner of speaking, which brings us beautifully to 2016. We're staying after Brexit, just when we thought the world couldn't get much weirder.
Yeah, in 2016, there were many memorable events. People remember the Rio Olympics. You remember, Pull Like a Dog, the O'Donovan brothers and Annalise Murphy winning silver. Euro soccer in France. You got the centenary commemorations to 1916 rising. You also have an election in the States. You've got a billionaire businessman, TV celebrity. He's a rank outsider to get the nomination. His name is Donald Trump. He gets the nomination. His opponent is an established career politician, Secretary of State. She's been senator. She's got high profile from being First Lady. He is Donald Trump. She is Hillary Clinton. And the editor, Colm O'Brien, and I were looking at these moments only recently, because we're still in production. We are still editing this programme. It's not finished yet.
Wow. Right?
But we remember the election of Trump. What you don't remember is how unpleasant and divisive that campaign was. Mm. And Colm and I pulled a couple of clips from the candidates' debates for you to listen to.
Believe me, she has tremendous hate in her heart.
This is a man who has called women pigs, slobs, and dogs.
If I win, I am going to instruct my attorney general to get a special prosecutor to look into your situation.
It's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Yeah. Because you'd be in jail.
Secretary Clinton.
It is incredible. Okay, that takes us to 2016, and the rest of it is in production.
The rest of it isn't. Okay. I think we all know how it finished, right? We just have to craft it together, Colm O'Brien and Ronan and Owen Murphy and Claire McQuaid and I.
And well done to one and all. I have to say, hats off to you and the team. You know, because this decade that you're talking about ends, obviously, at the tail end of 2019. And that's when, once again, everything changed.
Yeah, I mean, the question that you asked earlier is how you would fit 2020 into a year. You know, in some ways, I think at an emotional level, 2020 isn't finished yet. It doesn't really finish until enough people get vaccinated and we can move on from it.
Yes.
But certainly operationally, just in terms of the focus of it, we have to get reeling to 2019 first. But the first thing I think about 2020 in terms of a reeling in a year is it's going to be 25 minutes long. And in the end, it's a compilation of other people's programs. And reeling only exists because day-to-day people are making television and news and entertainment and sport. And if you think about 2020, you think of your own Late Late Toy Show and all the Late Late Moments, but you think of Orty Investigates and One Day in May, that documentary, the fantastic documentary, the Comic Relief. You've got all the news, back to the election results in February 2020. And I'm not bigging up Orty here as a general point. Other stations like Virgin and News Talk are doing what they do, and other media like newspapers are being produced remotely. But the point I'd make, you look at companies like Element Pictures, Normal People, 2020 for the BBC going on Hulu in the States, that's world-class television produced in Ireland. Whenever anybody does look back on 2020, there's a lot to look at through the medium of television and for a programme like Reeling. And Reeling only exists because day to day people make the day to day output and leave those moments for people to look back on.
John O'Regan, you're truly excellent at what you do, and thank you for all the Reelings so far. And here's to the next season starting on Sunday night, the 11th of April at 8:30. We will be glued. Go well, and thank you so much.
Thank you.